In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. One of the most important things we need to ascertain before we make decisions is who we are. Because it's from that point that we'll make decisions that are based on our character, our situation, expectations, what we want to be, who we want to be, and all of that. And there's a beautiful verse in the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 4, that says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." This is a really good indication that says, I'm not my own. I didn't make myself. You know, you get a lot of these situations that talk about people who are self-made. I made myself. This person has done this or done that. And being self-made sometimes makes us lose sight of the fact that we're actually accountable to someone else. If I'm self-made, I determine my own course of action, my own life, all of that. And of course, as humans, we have that absolute freedom within the confines of where we live and who we are. But we have that freedom. And having that freedom means that we can sometimes thoroughly abuse it. That freedom can become for us, rather than a blessing, it can become a huge burden and a real risk. And so that freedom needs to be used within a context. I am one of these people who, when I get a device, mobile phone, computer, whatever, I never read the manual. It's horrible. I'm sure none of you are like that, right? I'm sure you all go... I know one person who painstakingly picks up the manual and reads it from cover to cover, and that kills me. But you know what? The person who picks up that manual and reads it is probably going to make better use of this device because he knows A, what it's made for, but B, what its intricate details are and how to use them. If I look at my humanity as randomly as I use my mobile phone, then I'm using it. I'm probably getting 10% effectiveness out of it because I'm not using it to the full extent. But if I look at my life as the creation of God, so therefore, metaphorically, read the manual. You know, why did God create me? How did He create me? What was His purpose? What did He want to achieve? How do I fit within that purpose? All of that is so important. Because then it allows me to use my life in the best way. God is not going to coerce me. He's not going to force me. He is not going to take my life out of my hands and push it in a certain direction. All He is going to do is He's going to give me options, give me openings, put up huge signs, sometimes small signs, and say, this is the way you should be going. Where do you want to go? How do you want to get there is up to you. But this is the way you should be going, and this is your destination. And it's very important for us to understand that. Because if I just take full control of my life and use it within a worldly, earthly, material, human context, I am missing huge potential. There's a movie out in the cinemas now about a woman who uses only 10% of her abilities. What's it called? Lucy, yes. And I saw the trailer, and the trailer is that humans only use 10% of their power, so imagine. She does really strange things, like becomes a human magnet and things. I don't think that's why God invented us, to become human magnets. But it just shows you that there is so much within us that can be unlocked. And I know that sounds really corporate speak, and I'm not a motivational speaker. I haven't here to tell you how to make £1 million and that kind of thing. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I am trying to do is say, I am sure that within us, if we're not following God's plan for us, then we're not fulfilling our full potential. We're getting a portion of what we can do. We're reaching a portion of what we can achieve. So how do we fulfill this potential? First of all, by knowing that the Spirit of God has made me. And secondly, by knowing that the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So it's one thing to know my calling and my purpose. It's another to understand the source of my life. What is the source of my life? It's God. So if I look for that source anywhere else, whether it's material possessions, career, even relationships, even family, which are all very good things. Family is a beautiful thing given to us by God. Your career is the things you pursue because of gifts given to you by God. Likewise, everything in your life, but if they become the source of your breath, when they run out, your breath runs out. So if these material things that fall away with time become the source of what you see as being your purpose, that's the end of it. And that's why we hear tragic stories of people who go into horrendous depression because they've lost a job, or even they've lost families, or these things that really cause pain, and they really are painful. But there's something within us that gives us even more purpose. If we lose jobs, and it's something, a reality that many people live with these days, but there's always hope of doing something, somewhere. It's not, you know, the old adage of living to work and working to live. If we start living to work, then once you take out the work component, the career component, it means I suddenly lose purpose, I lose hope. I suddenly don't know what I'm going to do anymore. Because we've put all of our focus in one area. I've seen people who, younger people, who maybe put in so much energy into a relationship. Relationship breaks down, they feel lost. Because that's where all their energy and effort have been. Nothing else. Of course you must invest in your career. Substantially. Of course you must invest in your relationships. Substantially. Of course you must invest in people around you, in your communities, and your families. But don't make that your sole investment. Because at the end of the day, there is something else that keeps us going, which is the breath of God, the breath of the Almighty that gives us life. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there is the outward man, there is the material, there is the physical, there is the worldly. It perishes. It perishes. Almost everything in this world is perishable. Some of it more perishable, faster than others, but it's all perishable. Because this whole world is perishable. This whole world is not going to last forever. But what is within us is not perishable, does not perish. In actual fact, because of the way we live our lives, it is renewed day by day. And that renewal is essential. That renewal is something that we can only get from God. The other thing is, well, someone told me a horrific fact. And that is that apparently when you see dust in your room, a lot of that is, a lot of that is dead skin cells. Is that right? Horrible fact. That's one of those things I would never have wanted to know. I'd rather just think it was dust. So I just pretend it's dust now, rather than being snake-like and shedding stuff all over my room. But what am I trying to get besides this disgusting fact that I just shared with you? And that is, if that is not shed, then the new skin doesn't have life. So part of our very human nature is for that to be perishable. It's just how God made us. But He also compensated by making us in such a way that when skin cells die, more skin cells are generated. We don't suddenly find everything dying. What dies, then it regenerates. That is the nature of God's creation. That is the nature of the world, that things die. But unless God is in there, then the regeneration doesn't exist. Because this body, this flesh and this blood, if left to itself, without the power of God and the creativity of God and the life that God breathed into us, would just die. And so if we invest in just the worldly, earthly, and the carnal, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be thoroughly disappointed. Because we're going to find that it just lacking. How many of us have invested and poured so much time into things we do and then become very, very disappointed it hasn't paid off? And it hasn't paid off because sometimes we've ever invested, sometimes people are just unfaithful and they don't help us out. But whatever the reason, the only thing that people cannot take away from us is the breath that God breathes into us and the hope that comes from that breath. That's why that needs to be our focus. Now, you and I have a greater purpose being on this earth than just breathing and being alive. And unless we know who we are, we'll never fulfill it. Luke 4:18 mentions a prophecy that refers to our Lord on why He had come into the world. He had come to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's not just the role of people out there in very dangerous or very exciting destinations. That's the calling for all of us. We all are called to preach the gospel to the poor. We just heard earlier today about our sisters and brothers who are working within the city mission. And they've been doing it for years. That's all they do. They go and they preach the gospel to the poor. That gospel isn't always, I'm going to give you a lesson from the gospel of, but just by expressing their love, just by being there and giving of themselves, of their time, of their ability, of their focus, that's a preaching to the poor. There are many people who need you to preach to them more by your actions than by your words, because there are many people out there who have heard a lot of words. They're fed up with words. They're disenchanted with words. They're disappointed in words. They've been let down by words. That's not the preaching we're talking about here. God needs us to preach His good news with actions, with life. And then with words. Because then someone sees your action and then hears your scripture and thinks, that's why you do that. That's why you're joyful, and that's why you're forgiving, and that's why you're loving. That's why you're sacrificial. That's why you're selfless. Rather than hearing these long streams of passages of how we must love our enemies and do good to those who persecute us and be just and be honest, and hearing these long, long passages, but seeing us act differently. That's not what people want. They want the good news, the gospel preached though. Healing the brokenhearted, it's so important. And there are many whose hearts are broken, not just emotionally, but in their humanity. Their hearts are broken because their lives are very difficult. They've gone through so much. And they need us. Yesterday I was speaking with someone who does a lot of community work, and especially in broken families. She's an interpreter, and she goes into these families and helps women. And she turned around last night and said, I didn't understand how blessed I was, how fortunate I was, until I saw how other people live. And she realized that just by being herself, by using a God-given talent, by being Christian in her life, that she was healing these broken hearts in the way she could. Very unethical, of course. She deals with Middle Eastern women. And she said that the strange thing is, when they finish, they give her a big hug. And that's just sort of, when you're working for public service, you don't get hugs, because that's just dangerous territory. But that's the expression of emotion that they were giving out, just because someone was listening to them, just because someone was engaging with them, with their lives, with their hurt, with their broken hearts. Proclaiming liberty to captives. How many people do we know who are captive? Maybe not shackled in a prison cell, but captives of indulgence, captives of habits, captive of lifestyle, captive of feelings of insecurity, captives of so many ways. We need to say to them, actually, you don't have to be. There is a better way. There is a greater truth. You don't have to be captives at all, because God created you free. Don't worry. What I was saying at the beginning about us sometimes in our careers, we become captives to those. And we feel that this career is all I've got, and I've got to hold on to it, and I can't leave it, and if I leave it, I'm going to die. And so I hold on to it in such a way that I lose my freedom. I become captive to it and to everything that comes with it. So we need to say to people who are captives, and actually, you know what? We need to start with ourselves and figure out how we might be captives. Are we captives in different ways, to different things, at different times? If we are captives, then we need to speak to ourselves and figure out how we can be set free. And when we have, by being in the truth, having the truth unlocked for us, we can then say to others, you know what? You don't have to be captive. God has created you. The breath of the Almighty gives you life. You have freedom in Him. You have good news. So, no, you don't have to be captive at all. Above all, we need to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And oppression is not just of military or human dictatorships. The worst oppression ever is by Satan and sin over us. That's the oppression we need to be careful of. That's the oppression that just takes over our lives. It's the oppression that subjugates and subdues us and pushes us down every time we want to get up. How many times have we wanted to live a better life? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And we're just oppressed. Oppressed by things within us. Not oppressed by things outside, but oppressed by things within that don't help us. We are only as strong as our faith. If we have faith in a God who is almighty, all-knowing, all-merciful, then that is where our strength is. But if our faith is shaken because we're oppressed and captives and broken-hearted and do not have access to the good news, then we can't live that life successfully or joyfully. So today, let's focus on our faith. Focus on living it in a way that supersedes and goes outside of the bubble of this world we live in. Let's not be governed and reined in by the world, but break out of that to a knowledge of a greater truth, a godly truth, the breath of the Almighty that empowers us and allows us to fulfill everything we can. Because in doing that, we satisfy and serve ourselves, but we also then satisfy and serve others. And glory be to God forever. Amen.